Welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. And as always, we love hearing from all of you, your comments, stories, ideas. Get a hold of us anytime, call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ride Long, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, a listener has sent in an email in regards to news that we shared a few weeks back regarding how recent legislation in Utah has implemented a new requirement for accessing certain areas in the state's four most populated counties, those being Davis, Salt Lake, Utah, and Weber counties. Now, the license requirement as of May 7th of 2025, individuals 18 and older need a valid Utah hunting, fishing, or combination license to access wildlife management areas in these mentioned counties. The reasoning behind this measure aims to generate funds for the upkeep and maintenance of these areas, which were initially acquired using hunting and fishing funds. Now, I want to say a big thank you to our listener, Lance. This is what he had to say in his email. I love that at least part of Utah has implemented a law requiring hunting or fishing license. I've long complained that if it wasn't for licensing paying for the outdoors, nobody would get to enjoy them. Lance, thank you for sending in your thoughts. I know when we shared this story initially, we said we were sitting on the fence on which way we should be feeling about it. But I am behind Lance on this the more I think about this.
Yeah, the more I kind of roll it around in my mind, I am too. It makes sense. And it's not going to be that darned expensive to go in those four counties. It's, you know, a conservation license or something like that. And hey, look, now you can also, if you want to hunt and fish, you can do that too. It's not like it's going to be hundreds of dollars.
That's the thing. I could see this being adopted throughout other areas of the country. I've seen firsthand, and I love when I see people are out using public lands, wildlife management areas.
Now, you've hunted public lands, right?
I have,
and
yes.
And when you've been out on those public lands, have you, and I know you've seen other hunters in those areas,
of
but
course.
Have you seen backpackers and hikers on
yes.
the times that you've been elk hunting?
Yes. And I've seen folks out, you know, with their mountain bikes, or maybe they're using e-bikes, whichever is the case. That's why I just say, why don't we all just chip in a few extra bucks?
Everybody
to keep
shares.
This, yes, to keep
makes
these
sense.
Lands beautiful.
And it makes sense for the maintenance part of it too. I got you.
Now, as I said, we love hearing from all of you. And another listener sent this to me, and I thought it was just too darn good not to share. Now, remember, this is an old post off of social media, and I have not researched to see if there's any truth behind the post. I'm sure it's just a spoof.
I think it's a spoof, but it's still darn funny.
Exactly. I thought I'd share it as I find it humorous, and maybe some of you could relate. Again, this is not real. It's just meant to stimulate a little thinking. We'll put it this way. Kind of to summarize it, a State Department of Fish and Wildlife sends a letter to a home landowner asking for permission to access a creek on his property to document the decline in a certain species of unheard of frogs. The property owner's response in the second letter is epic, I'm going to tell you right now. Now,
and again, this is a spoof. I mean, it's just meant to be funny. I'm positive this is not real.
All right, here we go. Here's the first letter from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Dear landowner, staff will be conducting surveys of foothill yellow-legged frogs and other amphibians over the next few months. As part of this research, we would like to survey the creek on your property. I am writing this letter to request your permission to access your property. Recent research indicates that foothill yellow-legged frogs have declined significantly in recent years and are no longer found at half their historic sites. Your cooperation will be greatly appreciated and will help contribute to the conservation of this important species. Please fill out the attached card and let us know if you are willing to let us cross your property or not. If you have any concerns about this project, please give us a call. We would love to talk with you about our research. Sincerely, the Conservation Strategy Implementation Biologist. Now for the response from the landowners. Thank you for your inquiry regarding accessing our property to survey for the yellow-legged frog. We may be able to help you out with this matter. We have divided our 2.26 acres into 75 equal survey units with a draw tag for each unit. Application fees are only $8 per unit after you purchase the frog survey license, $120 for resident, $180 non-resident. You will also need to obtain a frog habitat parking permit, $10 per vehicle. You will also need an invasive species stamp, $15 for the first vehicle and $5 for each additional vehicle. You will also want to register at the check station to have your vehicle inspected for non-native plant life prior to entering our property. There is also a day use fee, $5 per vehicle. If you are successful in the draw, you will be notified 2 weeks in advance so you can make necessary plans and purchase your creek habitat stamp, $18 for resident, $140 non-resident. Survey units open between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m., but you cannot commence the survey until 9 a.m. and must cease all survey activity by 1 p.m. Survey gear can only include a net with a 2-inch diameter made of 100% organic cotton netting with no longer than an 18-inch handle, non-weighted and no deeper than 6 feet from net frame to bottom of net. Handles can only be made of BPA-free plastics or wooden handles. After 1 p.m., you can use a net with a 3-inch diameter if you purchase the Frog Net Endorsement, $75 resident, $250 non-resident. Any frogs captured that are released will need to be released with an approved release device back into the environment unharmed. As of June 1st, we are offering draw tags for our premium survey units, and application is again only $8 per application. You will also need to provide evidence of successful completion of frog surveys and your comprehensive course on frog identification, safe handling practices, and self-defense strategies for frog attacks. This course is offered online through an accredited program for a nominal fee of $750.
That's my favorite part.
Please let us know if we can be of assistance to you. Otherwise, we decline your access to our property, but appreciate your inquiry.
Now, obviously, that is a spoof. Well written.
Very well
Very
written.
Very well written and thought out. But how many of us that are landowners can actually relate to a degree, regardless of how ridiculous this is and exaggerated, but can actually relate?
I think there's quite a few, and I'm going to throw this to the audience since you listeners have been reaching out and sharing with us. I'm going to say keep on doing so. If you've had something of this magnitude happen, funny, hilarious,
been
send
there,
it our
done
way.
That
yes,
sort of thing.
We want to hear your story is what I'm getting at. Send it our way. You can email bendradioshow@gmail.com. I think this is a great time to take a short break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to The Ben Show.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
The 2025 Devil's Lake Shootout Rodeo going down in history as the first rodeo ever at the all-new Western State Bank Arena. September 5th, 6th, and 7th with over 400 contestants competing for over $34,000 in added prize money. Performances Friday and Saturday at 6:30, Slack at 9:30 a.m. both days. Sunday's shootout round begins at 2:30. Watch the Devil's Lake Rodeo Club Facebook page for real-time info. The 2025 Devil's Lake Shootout Rodeo is September 5th, 6th, and 7th at the all-new Western State Bank Arena. Arena.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one, Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Welcome back to The Ben Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and my co-host here, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, Tigger and I have both come across this recently in some of the social media groups we are in on Facebook. This is the time of year
Because we didn't get drawn for a moose or elk or sheep or nothing. We did get our gratis tags, of course, but...
Yeah, we did get those.
But we didn't get drawn for an elk or moose. And I got to be honest, I really thought, why would I think this? I really thought we were going to get drawn for a moose because a buddy of ours said that's got a bunch of land in a great area to hunt moose and said, if you get drawn, call me. Call me. So for some reason, I had it in my head that we were going to get drawn.
Tigger, you have had this on your mind and thinking we are going to get drawn every year. Every year you apply. And I keep telling you, that is why the state that we live in is a state that these are considered once-in-a-lifetime tags, whether it is a moose, an elk, or a bighorn sheep.
I wanted to get drawn.
And for some reason, Tigger thinks we are going to get drawn, and that is so far out of my mind.
Okay, but how crazy was it, and that's why I showed you this on social media, that there was two husband and wives that both got drawn for their elk tags. How nuts is that?
Okay, yeah, I can't
What are the chances of that?
They should be buying lottery tickets, like literally.
Right? We need to be friends with those people.
But yes, this has happened. And what we've seen in our own state hunting groups, where a lot of times people will share tips, ideas of where to go. Well, of course, scouting season is on right now, correct? Right? We're starting to get our eyes out there. If you don't have your trail cam set up, you better get them set up. That was your little PSA reminder. But these individuals that drew these tags, of course, are in units that they do not live near. And they're simply asking people, hey, anybody know where I could go or where do I even start? So this started the discussion in Tigger's in our own house. And somebody posted this also on social media saying, should somebody, before they apply for said unit area, do you just throw your name in the hat and hope for a feather out of a hat that you'll find a place to hunt? Or are you that person that says, nope, I know exactly who, where, what I can hunt at this location. I'm game on if I do get drawn.
It would be nice to be able to have contacts, but a lot of people that are avid outdoorsmen and outdoors women, they don't know landowners. They're maybe not in agriculture like we are, where we have contacts in every county and every state in the country. And,
honey,
and
you and I are about 3 degrees away from knowing everyone in our state.
Yeah, exactly. So those people, I get it, that they are hoping that something, and I'm glad that they're doing it, and I hope they all fill their tags too.
I really, really do.
I want to see pictures of them, and they just don't have access to the network. That's the word I'm looking for, the network of individuals that maybe we would. So we could call our buddy Doug and say, hey, where do we got to go hunting antelope out here? Or,
well, right? I'm going to throw this out to you. I want to hear what your thoughts are on this topic. By the way, again, the email address is bendradioshow@gmail.com. Otherwise, feel free to call or text 305-900-2363. Now let's think on this from another angle. How about you move to an area and you're new, and like they said, they're trying to find contacts on how to go about finding out where they can hunt, right? My first little tip right off the bat is start joining local hunting, outdoors, conservation
shooting clubs.
Groups.
Yeah, there's a lot of shooting clubs, stuff like that.
Yes, that right there. You're going to build your network so much faster, and you'll get insight about the area that you are hunting. So join those groups.
And it's more about relationships, in my opinion, than it is looking on Onyx.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing who owns it. Even though we have that app, it's darn handy. I love that thing. But it's all about building relationships, wouldn't you say, with a landowner? Because we're in a unique position where we are very avid outdoorsmen and hunters, but we also are landowners.
Right.
And we've had people ask to hunt our property. We have asked people to hunt their property. So we're in a unique position where we know we've got it. What is it? Boots in both camps? Is
horses in the race in both areas.
Is that a dog and a hunter? I mean, however they say that. Yeah, we're in both perspectives.
Yeah, no, I agree. The building that relationship is the utmost important thing that's going to determine how well of a hunt this is going to be. And in doing so, you might think, hey, all right, I pulled it up on Onyx. I know who the landowner is. Should I just pull in the yard and
so let me ask you
say,
that.
Can I
do
hunt?
Do you think is it okay for somebody just to do what you said, to pull in the yard and just say, excuse me, sir, I'm sorry to interrupt. I am so-and-so. This is why I'm stopping in. Would you be open to allowing me to hunt some of your property? Are you okay if somebody would do that?
Well, I can say I've been in that situation
many
times.
I've been in that situation too.
And first off, I have to say, for those that are not landowners, it is greatly appreciated when you understand the stress and workload that those landowners potentially may be, especially this time of year. It's harvest season. They're getting ready to wean cattle here in a couple months.
They're going to be chopping corn.
There's a lot of irons in the fire. So don't have your feelings hurt if that individual maybe is a little annoyed or is a little...
Or just can't talk right now.
Can't talk right now.
I'm busy.
They're unloading the grain truck. You know, things are happening. So don't be surprised if they can't talk right now. Okay.
And here is a suggestion and an idea of how to build those relationships, because I know it's extremely, extremely difficult to have access to somebody's property, because a lot of landowners are hunters themselves, like we are in our situation, right? Where we like to hunt on our own.
Absolutely. And they probably already have extended family of their own.
And that might be the situation. But here is a suggestion and an idea, and we love this one, where how can it be a mutually beneficial relationship to both, right?
Yes.
You get to hunt on somebody's land. And I've seen, and this has happened with our family, where we've allowed people to hunt pheasants. And in return, they have given us a lot of fresh walleye.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say frozen walleye, but they gave us a bunch of walleye. We thought that was a great relationship. Another way is offering maybe some of the harvest that you've mentioned, maybe some of your deer or elk, I guess we're using in this example.
Absolutely. Another way is to, there's a lot of labor intensive projects on a farm or ranch or any landowner has. And I've had this done in exchange with my property before. And absolutely, when somebody volunteers and says, hey, my son and I, or my daughter and I, we would love to come out and help you on this weekend. Or is there a project you've been needing done? We have experience in X, Y, or Z. Maybe in an exchange, we can knock this out for you and enjoy a hunt.
I think that is a great idea. And it can be in the off season. Obviously,
that's
it doesn't need to be during hunting season, but that's probably my favorite one right there, is offering exchange of labor and helping actually manage said property to a degree that you now have the privilege to hunt, because in doing so, then that individual kind of has some ownership to it, right? And has
you
a little responsibility. I think that is a wonderful idea, babe.
All right. Well, regardless, all of you that have drawn tags that Tigger and I have not drawn tags for, we wish you the best of luck. And remember, everybody, as we get into hunting season, and we're excited, the calendar's going to flip. It's going to start soon. Be sending us in those photos. Let us know the story behind that hunt or fishing trip.
Make us jealous.
Make us jealous. Exactly. You can email us again at bendradioshow@gmail.com, or you can text us those photos at 305-900-2363. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to The Bend Show. We'll be back right after this. You've waited dreamt of a hunting adventure, and now have harvested that trophy of a lifetime. Keep the memory alive with a custom-designed mount preserved as a work of art. Check out our approved taxidermist. Depending on your location, the award-winning Schneider Taxidermy is located in Helena, Montana. When hunting the Dakotas, JB's Wildlife Designs in Mandan, North Dakota, then Shadron Creek Taxidermy in Nebraska, and for the Central USA, Little Rack Taxidermy in Macomb, Illinois. Reach out to the Ben Show and let us help you find the right taxidermist.
Hey guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
This is Beck. First, I appreciate all of you for listening and making The Bend part of your week. Many of you have asked, how do I catch past episodes? The answer is super easy. Head to thebendshow.com and click on the Shows tab. There you can listen to every episode all the way back to episode one. Podcasters, head to your favorite podcasting app and search The Bend. You'll find us. Be sure to follow and subscribe and never miss another episode again. Welcome back to The Ben Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle. I'm your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the other seat. Now, this show has turned into all about you, the listeners, because I got one more for you. Excuse me, there's a stutter. We heard from a listener in South Dakota. What's his name? David?
David was who we got that email from. I agree. This has been one of my favorite episodes because I love it when people interact with us. Well, last week we had KX News chief meteorologist Kenny Miller on the program, and he was talking about cloud seeding.
He was myth-busting cloud seeding.
Exactly.
And it was a great show.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting. Go back to the archives and listen to that one. Well, David went and wanted to put Kenny to the fire here a little bit and say, okay, what is your projection for winter? Because I'm starting to see this on my social media feeds of, are we going to be in for a tough winter? Is it going to be colder, warmer, wetter, blah, 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 blah. So I reached out to Kenny with this, and I have to disclose, I am good friends with several meteorologists, and I'm getting to know Kenny very well. Great guy. So I just said, okay, Kenny, tell us, got any, take that little magic ball of yours. Do you have a prediction for what the winter's going to be like?
Fantastic question. I don't envy climate forecasting, which is predicting seasons out. Just as an aside, I think this is relevant to this situation. The Climate Prediction Center, which gives the official forecasts for different seasons, they were pretty confident in their forecast of this being an abnormally dry summer. And look what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of pull the curtain back on how that process works, you know, there's algorithms and there's different climate models that those fine folks look at, and you get 50 different scenarios, right? And the one that is the official one that's published for each season, there's maybe a 20% confidence in that happens. So if you do the math, there's an 80% chance that won't happen. But out of the other 49 scenarios, they all have less than the 20% chance of happening. So technically, it's the most likely to happen, even though the odds are still less than 50%. So forecasting beyond 10 days out isn't really my game, because my confidence in it, as we just said, is 20%, and I'm not that comfortable putting out an 80% lack of verification forecast. But that's what people like, and you know, it catches attention because you say, "Oh, colder than normal." You know, I've put those graphics up on my social media just because people want to know what the current track line is, and you know, it always comes with the caveat of this is going to change an infinite amount of times between now and December.
Thank you, KX News Chief Meteorologist Kenny Miller, for jumping back in on this subject. And in the future, I sure hope we have you on the show. I'd like to make you part of the show, Kenny.
I would bet. I like old Kenny.
Okay, this now came to my mind, though. We're thinking about the forecast going into old man winter this fall. What about the almanac, the farmer's almanac? Get this. The Farmer's Almanac claims an 80% accuracy rate for its weather predictions.
Nah, I don't buy that.
80%.
I don't buy it.
However, independent studies and analysis suggest a much lower accuracy rate, often around 50%. And just in the last week or so, the Farmer's Almanac, again, they just put out an article claiming on how, that's right, they claim that 80% accuracy when they do their weather forecast.
Okay, I don't buy that about Farmer's Almanac at all. Do they come out like once a week or how's that work?
No,
like
it's TV not the guide? TV guide, honey. No, Farmer's Almanac comes out once a year. You can already buy the one for 2026, by the way.
I'm not buying it. So, I'm going to tune in to Kenny. I'm listening to Kenny.
So we'll you're saying Kenny. Trust our local meteorologist first. What do you say? I want to hear from the crowd. On that note, folks, let's call this show wrapped for this week. Remember, keep sending in your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your ideas. That phone number, call or text 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. I gotta tell you, I can't wait to see the trophies you're gonna be hauling home this fall. And if you have missed part of this episode or want to hear past shows, you can find them all on our website, thebendshow.com. And be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and to The Bend Show YouTube channel. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me, Beck, all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend Show.